You are Locked On MLB, your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast where we talk about all of Major League Baseball, and I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. On today's episode, we are bringing in podcaster, actress, poet, and Phillies fan extraordinaire, Ellen Adair. And we're going to talk about, well, we'll find out soon, won't we? But this show is available on the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app. We're also available wherever you get your podcasts, whether it's Apple, Podbean, Player FM. You know how to listen to a podcast. You're listening to one right now. Maybe you're listening to us on the website, which is lockedonmlb.com. And when you're staying at home, please be safe and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB, or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Fantasy Baseball with Scott Cullen. If you want to follow us on Twitter, we're at Locked On MLB underscore net. On Instagram, we're at Locked On MLB. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Got all that done. Got all that out of the way. Hey, woo-hoo! It's the last day of June, and nope, there's no games being played, but there's still lots of baseball fans out there who I want to introduce to you, my listeners, and to see how we're all coping with all this and how our brains work. And let us go to, while she may not be in the city of brotherly love, easy for you to say, the sweetest, kindest city in the country, Philadelphia. Let's welcome Phillies fan, and as I mentioned, all of her, descriptors beforehand, it's Ellen Adair. Hi, Ellen. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Sully. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Now, yes. I got to know of your existence through our mutual friend, Michael X. Ferraro, who's been on this show several times. He is also a big Phillies fan, and he, like you, is a baseball poet? Am I getting things mixed up in my life here?
No, you're absolutely right. Yes, we are both baseball poets. It's crazy because he and I met in a bar in New Orleans because I was there shooting NCIS New Orleans and like gradually discovered that like not only are we both originally from Philadelphia, but like to the extent that we both write baseball poetry. It was pretty hilarious, the sort of unfolding flower of the things that we had in common.
It reminds me that I can say this because my name is Sullivan, but there is a joke about two guys at a bar who say, "Where are you from?" "I'm from Ireland." "Oh, you're from Ireland." They toast each other. "What part of Ireland?" "County Cork." "Oh, I'm from County Cork." And they toast each other. "What part of County Cork?" "Killarney." "Killarney, that's where I'm from." And they toast and have another drink. And someone at the end of the bar, "What's going on over there?" He said, "Oh, it's the Shaughnessy twins are drinking again."
Oh, I love that so much.
Yeah.
I thought that was good. This was going to be the version where they realize that like they have so many things in common, but then there's one last thing that they don't have in common, and then they fight. That would also be the
that would be any Irish family get together, which I've been to many times. But hey, forget about that. So I know Michael's poetry, and I've read it many times. How did you turn to poetry in terms of baseball? Don't worry, we'll get to the Phillies in a minute, but I'm just fascinated by how baseball fandom can, what's the word I'm looking for, manifest in various different methods, some in mathematics, some in fantasy, me in podcasting, some in video, and for you it manifested through poetry. Now how did that come about, and when did you find that that was the best way to express it, I guess, in lack of a better term?
Well, you know, I'm actually relatively new to the field of baseball poetry, so I don't want to sort of like come on like the mayor's wife. I am a published poet. In fact, I have a book of poetry called Curtain Speech, but that is poems that are about being an actor and a life in the theater and different characters and things like that. So it was basically the start of this past off season, and a friend of mine was writing baseball haikus about the postseason. Well, I think specifically about the World Series. And so I sort of dove in and I wrote also some haikus about the World Series. Nice. And then I thought, being the former English major that I am, and also like, you know, a fan of poetry in general, generally like old timey poetry, I thought, oh, wouldn't it be fun to just take poems that already exist and just sort of readapt them to make them about baseball? So that's my particular genre of baseball poetry, is sort of the readaptation of poems that already exist. And so I very much admire, in fact, that our friend Michael Ferrero really creates baseball poems completely newly. Where there was once nothing, there is then a baseball poem. But I instead, you know, adapt. It's often the romantics. I wrote my undergrad thesis on Keats and Shelley, and William Butler Yeats is my favorite dead person. So it's a lot of those type of dudes that I then make a baseball poem out of.
Well, let's move from poetry to a much sadder topic. Which would be your beloved Philadelphia Phillies. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be rude there, but yeah, did you grow up in Philadelphia? Did you, or in the suburbs of Philadelphia?
So I grew up partly in Philadelphia and partly in Bloomington, Indiana. I'm mm-hmm. from Philadelphia originally, and my mom is in Philadelphia now, and my dad is still in Indiana. So I feel like they're both kind of home. It is true that most of my formative years were spent in Indiana and not in Philadelphia, but I certainly, when I was a very small child, we went to Phillies games, and that was really the start of my Phillies fandom.
So, yeah, and for people like you and me, sticking to our roots, as it were, as fandom. I mean, I talked about that on a previous show this week about my New England roots, even though I haven't lived there forever. It's all about those early formative years that wrap you in. Now, there is an important aspect I need to find out about your Philly fandom, okay? I'm not going to ask your age, but I'm going to ask, around what era was the first Phillies game that you went to? Like, who were the stars, and what were they in the vet? I mean, what were the circumstances of the Phillies teams you first saw?
Well, the first Phillies game that I went to, I certainly don't remember. I know that my parents were taking me to the games from the time that I was just a baby in arms.
Okay,
but. Well. I will say that the first man that I ever loved was Von Hayes, if that answers the question for you. And I was so young that I don't know why. Mm-hmm. Like, people, I think, assume that I was 8 years old deciding that Von Hayes was the first. No, I was like three. I was very young, and I was like, that one, he is my favorite. And it's probably just because, like, he hit a couple of home runs and I was 3 years old, and so I didn't have a lot of nuance in the way that I viewed the game. So it was Von Hayes. But I feel like the first thing that I have extreme, like, clearer memories of would probably be sort of the 1993 season, because of course it's so exciting to be able to, you know, have your team do so well and then get to the postseason and get to the World Series, even if you don't win it.
Yeah, that team in 93 was such a strange team, and it's this weird island of success in a vast sea of Philly futility.
It's that so true.
Between the 1983 World Series, when the Phillies lost to Baltimore, and the 2007 playoffs, when they beat the Mets on the last day of the season, they wound up getting swept by, I believe it was the Rockies in the playoffs. In that period of time, 83 to 2007, the Phillies made the postseason once. And that was that year that they went to the World Series in 1993. And there's a strange thing. I'm sorry to inject me into this. I swear I'm not going to be that guy. But that year was the year that the Giants won 103 games. The Braves won 104 games. For reasons that I do not understand, the Braves were on the West and not the Eastern Division. So the Giants won 103 games and missed the playoffs completely. And if the divisions were aligned normally, the Braves would have been in the East, and the Phillies would have been like seven games behind them in the standings. But because it was lined up that way, and the Braves were, you know, the Braves beat the snot out of the Phillies in the playoffs that year, except in wins. Like, all the games the Braves won were blowouts. All the games the Phillies won were close. Every statistical category, the Braves clobbered the Phillies, but the Phillies won in six and went to the World Series. And I can't tell you, because my father's a Giants fan, so many of my friends are from the Bay Area, how livid they were at that Phillies team. Like, that team got to the World Series. We won 103, and we're playing golf, and that team gets to go to the World Series. That being said, I rooted for them like crazy in the World Series.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. Yeah, no, I do love that baseball can be improbable in that way, that your sort of Pythagorean win record doesn't always mean that you actually end up being the winner or the loser of something. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, I was young enough that I didn't have a sophisticated view of all of that at the time. But I feel like Braves fans, considering how good the Braves were in the 90s, can concede the Phillies this one little moment.
But that was so, it was such a fluke team. I mean, that when you look at the team, the players, the win total didn't seem to match the talent on the team. It really was a situation where the team was greater than the sum of their parts. And even if you look at the years just before and just afterwards, where they were very similar teams, it's like, wow, how did it all just fit like a weird puzzle for one year? It just happened to click that you had, you know, Dalton and Dykstra, and you had all these weird platoons like Eisenreich and Wes Chamberlain and Pete Incaviglia and Mickey Morandini, which, by the way, is one of the great names for Callis to ever say in the middle of a Phillies game, Mickey Morandini. But, yeah, I mean, you had, I mean, that weird bullpen, obviously, and it was a very strange team to figure out that got almost to Game 7 of the World Series.
Yeah, they were so close. Yeah, I feel like there's sort of, you know, I don't know, maybe the 2019 Phillies are balancing the cosmic scale for the 1993 Phillies because they actually had so much talent and it just didn't seem to click at all. So, yeah.
Oh, I will tell you what the cosmic balance for the 93 Phillies getting into the World Series despite having fewer wins than the Giants. But I'll tell you that in a minute. But do you want me to tell you about first? Let me tell you, just hold on for 1 second, because I got to tell you something. Are you familiar with Postmates? Do you know what Postmates is?
I believe that it's a food delivery service, is it
not?
Oh,
it is more than that. It is more than that. Because let me tell you something, Ellen. These days, I'm trying my best to support local businesses as best I can. Some of the restaurants are open, but you got to do things cautiously. Well, I use Postmates. And do you what they do? They have contact-free delivery. That's what they have. It's non-contact delivery where they can just bring it right to your door from my local restaurants. There's a place here in Pasadena that has unbelievable fish and chips. And that's my weakness. Mm-hmm. That's my kryptonite, fish and chips. And they deliver them right to my door. Boom. And do you know what?
Is the fish still crispy?
The fish is great. The fish is warm. And the fish has...
That is a superb delivery service.
It is, but it's more than that. It's not just fish and chips. They've made my life easier by picking up anything I need from Walgreens or 7-Eleven and dropping it right outside my door. Think about that. If I need to get supplies, if I need to get more Windex, if I said, hey, I needed that Cherry Coke Slurpee yesterday, boom, I got it. Do you have Postmates?
Literal and figurative lifesavers. I do not. I have not used Postmates, I'm going to be honest, which is why I was ignorant as to everything that they could offer me.
Well, then here's the deal. It's this easy, Ellen. You just download Postmates on iOS or Android. I don't judge, whichever one you have. Find your favorites. Get anything.
Thank you for not judging me.
No, do you want some people judge? I don't care. I really don't. It does not matter to me. I got chewed out by Adobe for not updating my apps. Why am I updating them? They work. That's not the point. Get anything you want within the hour. And do you want, Ellen, because you're such a good guest, for a limited time, I'm giving you, but also anyone who listens to this, $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. What do you think about that?
Wow. That's amazing.
That is amazing. It's easy to start your free delivery. Just download the app and use the code Locked On. What is that code, Ellen?
Locked On.
Locked On for $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Ellen, anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it.
Awesome. That is very exciting.
We brought up the fact that the Phillies made the World Series in that vast ocean of failure. There was a tiny island, like one of those islands you see in the Far Side with like one palm tree sticking out. And that
totally
was the 93 pennant. And after that, resume to have losing season after losing season after losing season. And then they had another wave of excellence, which included beating the Mets at the end of the 07 season, winning the World Series in a weird, let's face it, it was a weird World Series when they beat Tampa. Lost the Yankees, it would turn out to be a great World Series, even though I didn't like the result. And then you had losing to San Francisco. Okay, San Francisco was really tough, and Lincecum and da-da-da-da-da. Then you had the year, 2011. And that was the cosmic reshuffling and repayment of 93, in my opinion.
You're right. That was the year. Yeah, because they won like the 103 games or something. You can remember specific numbers and I can't. I can only remember emotional numbers, but like it was many games.
Well, I'm cheating. I have baseballreference.com, the single greatest website in the history of planet Earth, in front of me. They did win 102 ball games, which was a Phillies record, and ran away, made mincemeat of the National League East. And this was the year they had traded away Cliff Lee, and then they reacquired him via free agency.
In one of the best days of my entire life.
Okay.
Was now, when I learned that Cliff Lee was spurning the Yankees and coming to the Phillies. It was like the ultimate triumph of good over evil.
All right.
As far as I was concerned.
And tell me your love of Cliff Lee. I mean, it's a shame he never got his ring because he earned it. But what about Cliff Lee made you feel that way?
Oh, I mean, he was just the master of the three-pitch strikeouts, and he just used his pitching mix so effectively. You know, obviously he didn't have like a super high fastball velocity or something, but just like the way that he could play it off his cutter and his like, you know, beautiful curveball. And I mean, the basket catch in the 2009 World Series was incredible and so lovable. And I mean, he was astonishing in the 2009 postseason.
Yes.
I don't have the numbers in front of me, but he was just like a machine gun of a pitcher, and everybody bowed down before him. And so I don't feel like anybody could have watched that clip. I mean, he was great from the moment that he arrived on the Phillies. He was just like a complete superhero. And so I completely fell in love with him in that sort of half season that he was with the Phillies, and was devastated when they traded him away for a return that didn't end up really amounting to anything. And then so happy when they brought him back. I was so happy. I still have the New York Daily News front. It's like a cover. The New York Daily News is one of those sort of like magazine style newspapers on my refrigerator. I have moved it from three successive refrigerators. It's always the first thing that goes on the refrigerator. So yes, I still have it there and I look at it every day and I think about Cliff Lee and it makes me happy.
That was, yeah, that I was stunned that he didn't sign with the Yankees. I just thought everything was pointed towards that. And that you took a look at that team was built for one thing and one thing only, and that was to win the World Series, answer all the critics. So this would be a squad that had multiple World Series titles, three pennants, and you could have made the argument that had they won that World Series, that they would have been the greatest run of a Philadelphia team ever. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you consider the Dr. J, Sixers only won one title. There is the time the Eagles had never won a Super Bowl. The Mike Schmidt Phillies only won one World Series. You'd pretty much have to go back to the Connie Mack Philadelphia A's to find a better run. And I put an asterisk next to any pre-integration run that you can't compare it. So they were really
the
way to being the greatest Philadelphia run in sports history. And I would argue that if they won the World Series that year, that would have been the biggest Philadelphia victory probably since Balboa Lang in Rocky III. I think that was probably, I mean, that's the level we're talking about here. And my God, after game one of that series against St. Louis, it just looked like men versus boys. And then they had a lead in game two. And I remember thinking, oh, this is a sweep. This isn't even fair. And then it happened. I have to tell you what just happened. And I will cut out the pause, but I have to leave this in. I was recapping what happened in 2011, and there was this big, long pause, and I thought you were so upset that I recapped 2011 that you hung up on me.
No, yeah, you just in the middle of it, you just completely froze, and I didn't hear anything.
Yeah. I think that was your computer saying you have a special spyware that when someone starts talking about the 2011 series against St. Louis, it just shuts down.
Yes. Yeah. No, that, I mean, that is sometimes just how I feel about the Cardinals. And I mean, a point that I was going to make is that I think what was particularly sad about that for me was that, like, my hero Cliff Lee was not very good in that series. He was, you know, I whatever start he had against the Cardinals, I don't remember what it was, but it was, he surrendered a large number of runs.
That, yeah, it was game two. The Phillies gave Cliff Lee a three spot in the first, and they're up 4-0. And that's when I thought, oh, this is a sweep. I mean, this is not even going to be close. Mm-hmm. And I think there was no better symbol of what happened to the Phillies than the final out when Ryan Howard collapsed at home plate. And it was like, what a metaphor.
Yep.
What a metaphor.
Yep. It was the end of an era.
Okay. All right. Well, funny thing has happened is that every time we've continued to talk about 2011, Ellen's computer crashes, melts, and IT people have to come over. So instead of doing that, why don't I just ask you just quickly, right now your fondest and clearest memory of 08 and what that title meant and that surreal World Series, but I thought really dramatic series, even though it didn't go that long, where they came back and they won against the Dodgers and finally got into the World Series and then, you know, showed their own. There was the weird rain delay. But when I bring up 2008, what is your memories and what are the things that you go back to and really think about?
Well, it's tough because I was doing a show in Washington, D.C. at the time, a play. And so I could only ever watch the game when I, because this, like, I didn't have a smartphone yet. Like, I didn't have a way to watch the game on delay the way that I do now. So I would just go home from the show, and it was a house with like 9 actors and just one tiny kitchen and one living room with one television. But I would just commandeer the television and be like, there is no argument about whether or not we're going to watch this, or like, I don't even know what, Queer Eye or something. Like, we are watching the end of the games. So, you know, I feel like a lot of my memories have to do with Brad Lidge, because I saw him in every single one of the games. You know, I do feel like my memories in general are about how heroic Cole Hamels was during that season. But no, it's a hard life sometimes to be both an actor and a baseball fan, and it has been made much easier, particularly a baseball fan, if you're a baseball fan of not whatever the team is in whatever city you are.
Right, so, right, yeah.
But now you can be a baseball fan of any team from any place, and so I do feel like, you know, if sometimes life feels hard, I remind myself, or like if 21st century life feels hard, I remind myself, yeah, but like now I can listen to baseball on my phone, and that's great.
Yeah, I have to tell you, it's funny that I was working the day of when Game 5 began. You remember how there was the big rain delay that they had?
I remember very distinctly, because my mom was at that game. So I was getting reports from her actually about that game, and she, you know, to this day is like, it's some of the coldest that I've ever been in my life. And I have my like 1993 starter jacket, like, you know, super 90s old school Phillies jacket that my mom wore to that game. But it is my jacket and I own it now, and I use it to like walk my dog when the weather is appropriate. And I sort of feel like I do carry a little bit of the 2008 World Series with me.
Well, I was working for a TV company at the time, and we're producing a pilot presentation for a remake of the show Name That Tune. And I was in the producer's room writing the script with two other producers, and I just desperately wanted to watch the game because I'm a rabid baseball fan. But one of the other writers was a woman. I can't remember her name. Forgive me. We only worked for those 4 weeks together, so forgive me if I don't remember your name.
But I can't remember anything, so it's fine.
She was a crazed Phillies fan. And I think she was from Bucks County, actually from just outside of Philadelphia, crazed Phillies fan who could not believe she wasn't watching the game. And we had like, because we had a deadline. We were doing the presentation the next day, and so we couldn't like have it on in the background because we would all be watching it. But we would get little updates, like on our computer, like when we would turn something in, and take a quick moment, you saw it. And I always felt so good that game got delayed, because we did the presentation the next day, and they didn't resume play for a couple of days. So she was able to watch them clinch. And she kept saying, I don't remember the Sixers winning. I don't remember the Phillies. I was too young when that happened. I've never seen a Philadelphia team win. And now I'm working on a show that I won't even watch.
I'm very glad for her.
Yes, that in the end, that the parade was for her. She was for her. A woman whose name I don't remember. This was so great having you on. So great finally getting to you to do a podcast. Do you want to do another one?
Absolutely, I do. Do I want to talk about the Phillies more? Yes.
Well, we talked about the Phillies of the past. Why don't we talk about the Phillies of the present? We're going to do that tomorrow. And for everyone else, go to the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app. Like us on Twitter and on Instagram. And follow some of the other great shows of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day, including Locked On Fantasy Baseball with Scott Cullen. Giving a break and having Ellen Adair get ready for a second episode with me. This is Locked On MLB for the 30th day of June 2020. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Ellen, feel free to call me Sully.